Visiting today with the city administrator, Bill Scare, and good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
We got a lot of different things that have been happening. I did not go and look and see if West Park had concrete on it yet, but I know that South Marion had it.
It does. South Marion has concrete, plus I think the driveway approaches are done as well, and I think they had to do some infrastructure up at that intersection, so... Mm-hmm. It's moving along. Hopefully, we'll
complete it. That's our big one we're going right now.
It is. And Marion Street was the biggest challenge, I think, for the concrete laying the pavement because of the residents that live there. And I would say the city certainly appreciates the citizens up there cooperating. We know there were some challenges up there getting that done, and we certainly appreciate their patience.
So contractor, again, hoping to be able to get most everything else taken care of here relatively soon. It depends on Mother Nature.
It does. As far as an exact completion date, yeah. I think the contract said sometime in November, if I'm not mistaken.
So, well, one of the big things that, and for people that wonder, again, we're talking about West Park Avenue in South Marion again.
Right.
Really opens that area up for some residential development. One of the big ones would be the Cating Project, Kate's Landing. But you also have other people that have land out there that annexed to the city anticipating this.
Yes, exactly. Property there on the south side of West Park Avenue was voluntary annexed into the city. At some point, we expect to hear from somebody there. For some sort of development. And we've heard from a couple others that own land out there that they have an interest in developing it. So I think that you throw in the Kate's Landing project, I think we're going to see some good things out there.
Okay. This is one of those where, and I, having watched it for many years, it was always going to be development driven. That was one of the kind of caveats. The city always, when you did your capital projects and stuff, it was going to be development driven.
Right.
The issue was, is it going to be developers that were going to be involved with covering, or is this going to be a city project to encourage development?
Right. And I think if you talk about Kate's Landing, that's a development driven. I mean, we own the land, and we should be closing on that here pretty soon, because I know they may be... Hopefully, we'll try to break ground sometime late fall out there, at least moving dirt.
Yeah.
And so, this is a good example of this as a public-private partnership to get a project done. And they're getting some incentives from the city. We had to develop that specific area out there in our urban revitalization plan that went through council and ordinance change and things, and that's been completed. So we look for good things on this project. I know the permits and everything through DNR have been approved.
Okay.
And so we're moving forward, and the next step should be closing on the land here pretty shortly.
Okay. I was going to say the neighbors, when they sat through the rezoning and the stuff like that, they were pretty adamant that they were okay with going to an R3 if it was Cating Development that was doing it.
Correct.
That was the kind of the stipulation that. And that's the way the council did approve the rezoning. It is if Cating Development does it, otherwise it reverts to an R1. So
you're exactly right, and we're moving forward with the project. And
so they must have done a good presentation for the neighbors.
Yeah, I think so. I think they do things right, and with the stuff they put together for the permits that they and the city submitted to DNR, those went quicker than I thought they would of getting approval. DNR got right on it, and it's approved. So. We're moving forward on it, and like I said, I'm hoping that they may do some groundbreaking later this fall or early winter.
And for those that are wondering, this is not low to moderate. This is all market rate.
Correct. This is
what they call market rate.
Right. Market rate rentals, up to 128 of them.
Okay. We do know that Brian and the folks up on the north side with Villas at Fox Point.
Yes.
Like that, what a title. But they're already taking names and people that are interested in locating there. Now, that does have some low to moderate income, but it also has the senior housing also opportunities.
It does. It has low to moderate income for families and low to moderate income from seniors. Like project is the Alice Place, which is a low to moderate income, was a low to moderate income project for seniors. That filled up. They have a waiting list there. I think they have a waiting list for the senior one out at 22nd and Lynn. And if you've been out by there, you'll notice that all the buildings are being put up for the family side, but they're also preparing to start construction on the senior side as well. You can tell the infrastructure that they're working on. They're moving dirt. And I think they've already laid some concrete out there for that, for the second project as well. So they're, I think they're making good progress. And the winter, I think they'll, you know, they'll have the structures up, at least from the family side, to do the interior and things like that. So
it does tie into, and again, with some of the others that are going on in the community, but ties in with, again, your housing assessment that was done and where the needs are. And again, at the time the housing assessment was done, these projects were not included in there. So we'll give you a jump start on it.
It will, and it follows what that housing assessment information gave us for the low to moderate income, as well as market rate, the Cates Landing. And then, you know, there's we're in working on some things as far as the other housing as well. I think there was an area in there, $300,000 to $400,000 were needed, you know. We recognize that.
There was a need for some higher prices.
Right, and we're working on those projects as well, see if we can get something to come to fruition for that as well. So we're attacking it really from all sides, from what the housing assessment said on what we're getting in the community. And the important thing, I think it was over 1,000 units, I believe it said.
Yeah.
You know, by 2030 or 33 or whatever it was in the report. So we're making some progress. We know we need to continue to do that and bring more housing to this community.
And one of the challenges, of course, is it also noted that the majority of your existing structures are 100 years old. Now, it didn't go into conditions and things like that. Some are in excellent, some need help. But one thing you did do, and again, it's getting wrapped up. It probably is wrapped up by now, but working with Central Iowa Housing, the Central Iowa Housing Trust. Again, this is a project that Brenda Dreyer helped put together. She did it for Ogden, too. Mm-hmm. Went very well, and still a lot of interest in it.
There is. She's had interest from people once the deadline cleared for the applications. But I think she's got some money left for the projects that we're doing. And I know I talked to her just last week. Public Works Director Waylon Andrews brought it to us of a resident that could benefit from this program having some issues with sewer, not city side, but property side. And so they're working on that to maybe help her with this program as well. It's a really good program, and it's been successful so far.
It's one of those where, in the part I always enjoyed is it was coming together and watching, and both communities where it were. Central Iowa Housing Trust is, again, we're participants in that, Mid-Iowa Planning. And,
yes.
And that. But the trust dollars, we didn't know those dollars were there.
Right.
But to structure the program and, again, do some bigger improvements. Before, we had always done some with a lot of the restrictions of community development block grants.
Right.
This is similar kind, but a little more, a little larger bottom line.
It is, and those were tax dollars that were brought to the community that our taxpayers didn't foot the bill for, you know, from the Central Housing Authority. So a really good project. And I anticipate that as we move forward, there'll be a need to do that project again.
Yeah.
And I think we'll certainly look at that very seriously about doing it again, because I think we benefited some of our residents with this project.
Oh, yeah. And it requires using local contractors, too.
Yes.
They were all keeping pretty busy, too.
Right.
Which is, if you were wondering why you couldn't find one to do something, they were probably doing one of these projects.
Agreed.
That done.
And you mentioned the housing assessment. I think the one thing of that surprised me was the average age of our homes.
Yeah.
1922.
100 years.
That was lower. Yeah, that was lower than I thought it would be. So if I had, like I said, one thing that probably surprised me was that. And I think it goes to we have a strong demolition program here in the city.
Yep.
We target up to 6 demolitions per year is what our goal is, and we're well on track this year to meet that goal for demolitions.
Got to keep those dollars in there.
Yes,
if the council does, that's their goal so far.
It's Well, since I've been in the seat, right, it's been their number one. Every time we meet for goal setting, that's the number one goal. So we'll, staff takes that very serious, that that's their number one goal. So we obviously work on that very hard.
Taking steps ahead now for some other infrastructure work that's going to be done. And really, we're talking the plants, the water plant, the water environment station. Engineering now is pretty well lined up for it. But these are going to be, again, they're not new facilities, even though people, they're the new, newer, I guess, than real old. But they're still 20 years old, and some of the parts are showing a little wear and tear.
Exactly right. And actually, I think we could easily say they're about, I think, in the late 90s, right? So we're looking at 25 years old. And it's and good timing on that question, because we just had our meeting this week, our CIP meeting, it's that time of year, and with the plants. And so we have the projects that we are doing where we're bonding up to $5 million, 2.5 for each plant. And so we have those ready to go. As you stated, we contracts were signed with SEH. They're going to be the engineers on the projects. And so we'll move forward on those. But as a side note, for when we were doing those and talking about those, the number of projects that U.S. Water brought forth that they see down there, I'm talking particularly at the wastewater plant, that weren't that need to be done, that weren't even included in the $2.5 million bond that we're doing those improvements from the wastewater study that we did, right?
Yeah.
So not only those, but we have a couple different fairly expensive projects that we need to do that's not even part of that bond. And I think it goes to, you know, some of these things at that wastewater plant are coming to the end of their life, right? It's been 25 years. Well, when it's new, everything's good. You don't have all the maintenance and the costs, right? But now we're to the point of these plants, 25 years old. Now the pumps that we're doing. Or another project is the sludge holding tanks.
Oh, yeah.
Over 100 years old. Those are coming now where we're going to have to do something with those, make some improvements. I'm not sure what that's going to be yet, but that's another project that's over and above that was added to the CIP program so that we can have it on the radar and plan that we're going to have to deal with here in the next few years.
Yeah. We don't, out of sight, out of mind, right? Generally, that's been the challenge.
Right, right. I mean, obviously, the staff knows about them, and the elected official knows about these things. Right. And if anybody has any questions about the plants or why are we spending so much money on them or what it is, please come in, see me, give me a call. I'll take you down to the plant. I'll show you. But you're right. It's out of sight, out of mind for most citizens. But
most
I encourage them to ask questions if they have anything about the amount of money that we're spending at these plants.
Yeah. We've done some work on some of the sewer lines. Again, we're still doing the I&I work.
Yes.
And that's a big one. One of the, some of the work that's been going on, and I know that Wayland's done a lot of lining.
Right.
And as much as he can afford, tries to get it in and tries to hit some of those high areas where we're having some issues, again, where the capacity, the only other way to fix it would be to dig everything up, and that's very costly.
Right, exactly right. I think the lining so far that we've seen has been successful. Wayland and his staff do a good job of identifying those areas that should be up next. It's kind of like a little bit like the I&I program, right? Each year they identify, well, we probably need to go to this area, you know, and we're on phase five. So far, so it's been 5 years of it. So they pick each year, you know, where else do we need to go now? It's kind of the same on the lining, right? They identify the problems that we have in this, you know, and they listen to the elected officials, they listen to citizens who are having problems and call us and let us know. But that program has, been pretty successful so far. It's not as old as the I&I, but we still move forward. We budget dollars for that every year, and Wayland spends every dollar that we budget, which obviously he's encouraged to do, so that we can fix some of those problems here in the town, because the age of our infrastructure is really old, as you stated, and this lining is a really good solution to digging everything up. And you mentioned that we try to budget money for the lining, we budget that what we can afford. Imagine if that wasn't an option and we had to dig those up.
Those are bond
four or five times probably. So we're real happy with the lining project so far.
All right. So that's going on. And one of the things we've found, I'll tell you what this one is. On Story Street, I thought at one time they had taken care of the lamp holes, what they called lamp holes, where they used to get down in the manhole and somebody would lower a lantern down there. And if you could see the light through there, you knew that it wasn't plugged up. Now they're starting to collapse. I mean, they've got them sealed up, but now some of them are starting to collapse and fall in there.
Right.
And we're running into, occasionally they have to dig them up a little bit. So, but this is one of the things that was done previously. You got new cameras, new things for the department, so they could get in there and actually take a look at this. It's not that we didn't have the system before, but it had been used a lot, and it was time for new.
Right. It was time for a new camera, and we purchased that this fiscal year, and they're using it all the time, and that purchase had been very beneficial to Public Works, in particular the sewer department and some in the water, but because they can put that camera down, then we can actually see. I know a few problems have arose as well of private contractors working on private property, and they've had some issues, and that camera is coming in handy as well to help with that. So very good purchase, and it's used all the time.
All right. So those are some of the things. Let's talk about a couple of other things that are happening over there at City Hall. What else is taking place?
Well, we as you know, we did a review of the zoning ordinance.
Yep.
Billing official Dave Aides did a really good job in his presentation. And we've been working on it for months. And he had a presentation at the last council meeting. And what we found, in addition to that, we also had the planner from MIPA. They took a look at our zoning as well and gave us the recommendations. We pretty much followed most of those recommendations. So the changes that we made were two changes. One was that we're going to combine the M1 and the M2 into one district. Dave felt that with what's in each of those districts and that they're so similar, we just will combine them. Yeah. So we're going to do that.
Yeah, the definitions that are in the code.
Right, the definitions of the M2. In addition, then, we're reducing minimum standards for single family in R2. We talked about those old homes, right? A lot of those are on the north side, and there's some obviously on the east side. And if we do a demo and we talk with a contractor, maybe you're putting a house on there, right? There is issues with the lot size because they're so small and what our ordinance says. So we're going to reduce those so that it doesn't have to go to P&Z all the time. Dave can handle that. Mm-hmm. And that'll assist builders when they want to build on these lots on the north side or wherever the lot is smaller.
And that's one of those things that years and years ago, the lot sizes were made a little smaller.
Yes.
So,
right.
And now with the what you have for side yards, they would have to be doing variances so often.
Right.
That's very time consuming.
It is. So if we can cut out some of that, then it speeds up the process. And so I think we'll have our first reading of those changes at the November 6th council meeting. We'll do our first reading. Things that we did not touch in it, we didn't do any changes in the commercial districts or the hospital districts. Yeah. The hospital, that really was a small thing, and it just didn't make sense to change it. So we'll do those, have the first reading, and move forward with those, and those will help the process.
And you've already made several adjustments in the commercial anyway.
Right.
So
pretty
well was up to speed.
We recently changed the facade requirement downtown. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And then we finished up after several discussions at council meetings on the downtown sidewalk program, we took them a final product. Elected officials liked it, so I'll bring that back on the 6th as well for them to vote on that.
All right. Again, that's going to allow some assistance from the city for sidewalk repairs and fixing up things.
And then, if I have time, I'll just mention the railroad's been a hot topic.
Yes. I was going to go there next.
Okay. I figured you were.
Okay.
The city attorney and myself had a conference call with the attorneys at UP for two things. The signs that are there aren't readable. Our residents, they're sitting there waiting for a sign. They can't see the information on there to call. So the mayor initiated with staff to put signs up, bigger signs, so that our residents, when they're sitting there, right, they can see it and they can make a call right then.
You can be three, four cars back right. and still see the phone
right.
number.
And I think there were some concerns about UP. So in this call with their attorneys, we worked through that and we end up, we can do it. There are just some certain restrictions that we can't do. And we'll follow that and we'll keep the railroad up to date on what we're going to do. And then the second topic that we discussed with them was the viaduct.
Yeah.
They assure us the viaduct is safe. It's sound. It's structural. And actually, we have, unfortunately, have some incidents where our trucks are getting, mm-hmm. are hitting it. The top part of their yeah. trucks are hitting it. So each time that happens, we notify the railroad. Each time, they send their structural engineers here to look at it to make sure it's still good. So we've actually had them here quite a bit because, unfortunately, we've had those accidents. And I don't think they really care about what it looks like.
No, they don't. Bottom line is they don't.
All they care is the structural. But, yeah. you know, and I understand when residents drive under there and if there's, and this isn't a structural issue, but if there's a little bit of concrete that falls off, it's on the sidewalk and they see mm-hmm. it. And I've had a couple residents come in and say, hey, have you seen that? You go by there, there's concrete there. And we brought that, you know, that to the attention of the attorneys with UP. And they're aware of it. But, right, bottom line, I don't think they care what it looks like. They just care that it's structurally sound.
Well.
Not necessarily good for yeah. boom, but that's their stance.
And I know one of the council members raised the question, could we have a project done where we do something to beautify it or clean it up?
Yeah.
And that would be needing their approval, of course.
Right. And they're going to send some information to Jim Robbins, and he'll take a look at that.
And so we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Work in progress still.
Yes. Every day.
Every day. I know. And again, we'll get back to using that phone number. That's something, a year and a half, 2 years ago, we started encouraging people to do.
Right.
Call that number.
Right.
But having the number, even right. though we give it out on the air, and right. I think you even have it posted on your city website.
Yes.
It's much easier to see it right there.
Right. And understand that if you call it, unfortunately, you may not talk to a live human. But there's an opportunity to leave a message. Please leave the message. I know it's frustrating. You can't talk to somebody, but please leave the message. What we were told by their attorneys that those are listened to and action is taken, and they've got a file report with the feds every year, I think, on that.
Yeah.
So please leave the message, even though you don't get a talk to somebody. And so it'll be a little bit before we get those signs up. There's some rules we have to follow. Waylon and his people are going to work on it. And so we'll have to, you know, the signs can't just be a handmade yep. sign. So it takes time, you know, to get those
made,
signs yeah. made and everything. So, you know, we just ask for your patience.
Yep. And I think one of the other things is, I know. We're getting ready for, Waylon said he's got salt and sand in. So
yes.
They're gearing up, getting ready. 'Tis the season.
It is the season. And maybe in November I may bring the community service officer, or I may bring Waylon with me. We can talk
about. We'll be
down
there around the end of the month, yeah, after Thanksgiving.
We can talk about the snow ordinance and the what the ordinance says and the towing if we have to and everything like that.
Let's hope we
just
don't.
Just as a reminder to our citizens.
We don't want to use it before then. So.
It'd be great if we went through an entire season and not have to tow one vehicle. That would be fantastic.
You'd like that.
Yes, I would.
All right. Boone City Administrator Bill Scare, our guest on our program today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. You're welcome.